What is going down, everyone? Episode 116, Mojo Break the Hype podcast. We got a lot to talk about today. We had one of the biggest release days in the history of this hobby. We're going to discuss Prism Basketball 1920 as well as 19 Bowman Draft. We have a new segment that's going to be pretty fun called Are You High? It's about the ridiculous prices on eBay that people are asking for, so we're going to get a good laugh at some of those. We're also going to review Transcendence. It came out, $25,000 box. Is it worth it? Or actually, it's a $30,000 box. Is it worth it? But check out the site, mojobreak.com. We're doing breaks all day. We got more Bowman Draft. We got more Prism Basketball. We've got a weekend filled with that stuff, as well as Obsidian Football, Immaculate Football, Flawless Baseball. If you haven't joined a break on our site, you go to mojobreak.com. Everything's scheduled. Everything's done live. The schedule is on the right side of the site, Pacific Times. And if you're on the mobile, it's down at the bottom. And that tells you when things are going to break, so you can jump in on the action. And you can get some cheap teams, or you can buy the best teams. So there's all kinds of options at mojobreak.com. Dan and C-Rad, are you guys ready for the show, or are you too tired from yesterday? Too many cards.
I thought we were getting the week off.
I never get tired from Prism. Let's go!
It's like your energy drink, right?
Yeah.
thought it was the off week.
I know. Well, we took off Wednesday. We're here Thursday, guys. We can't miss a week of the hype. You know, we got a lot of you guys subscribed. You know, we got to get that content out to you guys, and we enjoy doing the show. So we're here on a Thursday talking about the releases that happened on Wednesday, as well as we're also going to talk a little bit about the Prism auction that went down on Monday, Cyber Monday. We're going to talk about how people complain about that and how some people are happy about that, the ins and outs of that. And, man, so we're here, and we got breaks going on after the show. So if you're watching the show live, you can jump in on the action for today's breaks as well. So if you're listening on the playback, you can jump in on anything when you're listening. There's always something going down. So, yesterday, these are the two gentlemen that people were chasing in the two releases. You got Adley Rushman, prospect number one overall draft pick in 2019 draft for the Orioles. His first Bowman is in Bowman Draft, and that's the number one guy people are chasing. And for Prism Basketball, it's still Zion Mania. So everybody's going after Zion. So those were the two big names that we were trying to go after yesterday, as well as there was actually a lot of big names in both sets that we were chasing. What did you think about the two releases? Start with Dan.
Oh, man. I'll start with Prism. Prism was the highly anticipated release. I mean, everybody had been talking about Prism since
last year.
Yeah.
It was like, wait until 1920 Prism. Hard to wrap my head around how many different variations of Prism have been released. Similar to last year.
Can't even count it on your fingers.
No,
huh?
You can't. And one of the number one questions that everybody is asking is, well, which one's the best value? And I don't even know how to answer that right now. I opened up a retail, and I've seen some retail open. Mm-hmm. The retail boxes, not the blasters. And I was pulling tons of silvers. I didn't get, like, anything huge out of it, but I was getting a fair amount of silvers. Getting a lot of silvers out of the hobby. Haven't opened up any of the blasters, but I've heard the blasters are tough to get silvers.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, too.
It's tough to get base rookies.
It delivered. Did it deliver at, you know, $450 a box or whatever it's going for?
Yet to be seen.
I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, we're going to have to see what the secondary market does.
Do I think it's going to go up? Well, if that dude on the screen shows up, and starts doing some dunks, then yeah, it will.
It will.
That you've seen it with last year and like Luka. The basketball market is unlike anything else. And then Bowman draft, the value's there. This is one of the best rookie classes that I've seen from a hitter standpoint in years. And there's a lot of guys to chase. And there's a lot of good value guys I think you could pick up and hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to go back to this draft in 4, 5, 6 years, and it's going to be almost impossible to pick up a sealed box.
Absolutely. I mean, some of the big names besides Adley Rutschman, Brett Batty, Andrew Vaughn, Hunter Bishop, and there's a lot more that are going to emerge from this year's 2019 draft. One thing I wanted to point out, and I'll have C-Rad answer this. Let's tell people why autos really don't matter in Prism basketball.
Okay, sure. And I remember hearing Dan talk about it a little bit about yesterday, so I am kind of mindful about that. So Prism basketball, you know, every year I do get guys. It was actually somebody in the chat room yesterday that are like, oh, man, these autos are straight trash in Prism basketball, right? And I'm like, yeah, that is true. Prism autos are pretty bad, but. And I would get if somebody who wasn't too familiar with Prism
to
realize, like, you know, like, this is a $5,000 case. Why am I pulling an auto of I don't know who's in there? That's weird.
Alex Len or
yeah, exactly.
Ivica Subak or
Sam Jones.
I mean, at least he's a kind of a legend, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So like
Kiki Vanderway.
And I always say, like, we talking about autos, but with Prism basketball, it's the bread and butter are the parallel, the base cards, the stuff that don't have no ink on it.
Yep.
And oftentimes you'll find that the you know, the even just a silver or even the highest numbered parallel will sell for infinitely more than any of the autos you can pull. I'm talking about with the top rookies.
Yep, and that's why I wanted to mention it, because a lot of guys are getting in or they're watching this because they got into breaks, and usually breaks are all about the auto or all about the relic or all about the logo, man, or whatever. We're chasing hits. But, you know, I've got to step back and think, hey, you got a number to 199, John Morant. That's a big card.
Yep.
But people may not know that because they're like, well, I didn't get an auto, so I didn't do very well. But, you know, it's all about those parallels with this product. And it's kind of a beautiful thing. It kind of takes a step back to what hobby collecting used to be, where it wasn't about the hit.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, it's weird because I would think baseball would be the same way, but it's a little bit unique to basketball collecting. Compared to baseball and football, in that there's a lot of products that we're, as basketball collectors, I'm chasing. Like, I want the base card.
Right.
Like, I don't care about the auto. You
exactly.
know I mean?
And Dan was shaking his head when I said the hits.
So. Yeah. I mean, I get what you guys are saying. You guys are right, but it's a fine line.
I'm not saying don't put autos though. But we need that
content in there.
Yeah, I'm not saying don't put autos.
If you don't put those autos in there or those relics that you see in like other products, then the manufacturer can go to the printing press and they can print millions of copies of these cards.
Right. So what's holding them back
is the guaranteed that you get X amount of hits or X amount of autos per box.
Yes.
Those may be $1 autos, but that is saving us from mass production.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
So you want to sit there and complain about your $3 auto, that's cool. But if that auto wasn't in there, then your $100 or $200 or $300 rookie that you got wouldn't be worth half of that much, because there's a million of them out there.
Yeah. Right.
So just remember that. Remember that when you're complaining about your sticker dump of an auto.
Right, exactly. It's a good point. And speaking of Panini and Prism, they just came out and signed Rui Hachimura to an exclusive autograph deal.
Oh, sorry, I should have showed this one for already.
Oh, yeah. Those are just some of the prices of some of the main chases. Look like silver Zions are at $550. We'll just take a step back here. And Adley Rutschman is going for $350.
On the base auto, huh?
On the base auto, which is crazy. It's higher than any guy on Chrome. So Adley Rushman's coming out the gate around $350 on a base raw base auto of Rushman. So, but it seems like it was hard to hit. But anyways, yeah, Rui Hachimura signs an exclusive autograph deal with Panini. And so obviously they have a lot of faith in him. He's also signed with Jordan Brand and Nissan Foods, who makes ramen. So you could see this stuff already on Panini's website. But I was kind of thinking, man, you know, the term is autograph deal. And you think about the quality of this guy's autograph. And man, I think Panini got the raw end of it. Because you go to the next slide, I mean, that's what you paid for? Autograph deal. That's like the content you're getting from Rui Hachimura. Is that little Y thing that he put on that card. Somebody needs to tweet out, and obviously we collect cards based on the player's ability, not on their signature. But that's tough, man. That's a candidate for worst auto of the year.
Yeah, but if he changed his auto, wouldn't that kind of affect his old autos then?
I don't know, man. He needs to do something different.
I don't think so.
No?
Teddy Bridgewater flipped with three different autos.
Yeah, a lot of significant players in this industry.
I'm not going to argue with that autograph kind of sucks.
Mailed it in.
Yeah.
Did it as fast as he could.
Actually, have we seen any of his on-card stuff? A lot of guys change their auto on stickers and then when it comes to their on-card stuff, it's a little bit nicer, a little bit fuller.
Well, if you go to basically his autograph memorabilia, which I don't have a slide, he puts, like, I think, his number on there, which is a little bit better looking. I was just thinking of it in terms of, you know, I'm going to give somebody money for a quality, and that's what you get. You know what I'm saying? And, like, you're paying this guy, and that's what he's giving you. It seems like he's not really delivering up to his expectations. So there's a flawless version. That's kind of tough.
So I guess it's safe to say he's putting an R. Is that an R?
Yeah.
Is that an R?
Is his version of an R?
Is that an R?
It looks like a D and an L put together.
Considering his name starts with an R, I'm going to say it's an R.
It's kind of an R.
I think it's an R.
It's more of an R than that, whatever that is.
I don't even know if it's the same person signing that. I have no idea. I mean, Rui, come on, bro. People want to look at these cards, and it just visually does not look good with that autograph on there, and you're supposed to be a top player. Let's come on, man. Have some pride. Look at Admiral Schofield's auto. The guy just learned, literally, and he's a teammate. He literally just learned how to sign cursive. He told Panini, I just learned how to sign cursive. Full auto. Full beautiful auto. I mean, he's probably not the skill level as Rui.
You know what? That is the worst exclusive signing that Panini's ever made when it comes to the penmanship portion of it.
That's what I'm saying.
No, yeah, I mean, you're right. That you think of the other guys who they have in their list of endorsement deals, and all of them have actually pretty good autos. Kevin Durant, Kobe Bryant.
Kyrie's even not bad.
Was Wiggins an exclusive?
He might have been, but at least, yeah, he's got the AW.
He's got dumb auto.
Not as dumb as that. I mean, that literally, we're going to have a show coming up having the worst of the year, and I think he's a candidate. And I don't know if anybody's going to be able to beat him. Maybe Jalen Hands, or maybe, I don't know, you know. At least Jalen Hands has got some more lines in the auto. This is almost borderline. What was the guy from the Texans? Verin Morency's auto. That's almost Verin Morency's auto.
There was a guy last year that had a pretty. Was it Robert Williams?
We Robert Williams is actually similar to this to Rui Hachimura's auto. But we gave the award for worst auto to who did we give it to? We gave it to
Moritz Wagner. Moritz Wagner.
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's who won last year. So we'll see. Maybe Rui Hachimura knocks him off the ledge.
He's in the running. But I'll tell you guys right now, my number one is still Rashawn Gary. He has the worst auto of 2019.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Some good comment.
No, Rashawn Gary. His auto actually got better.
Oh, it did. Okay, we'll have to revisit.
Look at some newer stuff for Rashawn Gary. It's better than the early products. Somebody told him, bruh.
That's what somebody needs to tell Rui. Let's tweet him. I'm sure he's got an Instagram. All these young kids have it. But there's some good comments in the chat. One of them's very Tim Ryan-ish, so I can't say it. But we'll laugh off the air about it. a good point about it. But anyways, so we're going to move on to Prism. Talk a little more Prism. We got the we're going to analyze the Dutch auction as well. But Prism Hobby, that is the one that has the most sought after colors. You got the blues, you got the golds, you got the gold vinyls, and you got the black finite that's in the hobby only. So when it comes to true color chasers, the hobby is where it's at. You can get into breaks here at mojobreak.com and chase those big, big boy colors. I mean, I can't even imagine what a black gold number to five Zion will go for. So that's what your box looks like there on the screen. If you listen to the podcast, we do have a video version. That's why we're kind of describing what we're seeing here. But one thing I wanted to point out real quickly about the base design is it seems like the borders are a little inconsistent. So it's going to be really interesting to see how these things grade out, because to my eye test, a lot of the borders kind of seem not centered, like consistently not centered. So I don't know if that's like the design on purpose or, you know, we had some badly cut cards. If you look at that RJ Barrett on the screen, obviously the right side of that card is much thinner than the left side. And it kind of holds true with the Ja Morant. Now, the Ja Morant had some dots, and the eBay seller was being a good boy and encircled them for people that are interested. But it's very consistent on the right side being smaller than the left side. So we'll have to see how these grade out.
I'll put my little thought in here because I really was paying attention to the centering as I was pulling some of the more significant rookies yesterday. I noticed that, and I've seen a lot of retail being busted as well.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the centering is a little bit better. Surfaces are a little bit better. I mean,
Interesting.
Yeah, but like, you know, there's so much retail. I'm assuming there's so much retail that, you know, like they were just cutting it, like, you know, like, you know, running the presses on them base cards. So like that, I'm thinking that's what happened with the centering. That's why maybe retail has worse centering.
Or could it possibly be that they just made the left side a little wider just based on that way how the design in the picture pops? I mean, I don't know.
But there's some with like perfect centering, dude, like that I pulled yesterday. You know, like it's going to take, you're going to have to pull out a ruler, like, you know, some
Well, think about this. I mean, I don't think that they planned it this way, but just think about it. If they're going to up production, how do you differentiate?
Yeah.
5,000 silvers. Why? Maybe half of them are off centered. I don't know.
Why would you go through the time and effort when you're producing the product to intentionally try to cut some of them differently?
I think that has
conspiracy written all over it.
I don't think
that they would be like, oh, okay, we did a good batch there. Hey, back off the cutting a little bit. We're gonna throw out a shitty batch.
You never know.
Even back in the olden times, there was never a mentality where they're like, well, let's cut these cards poorly on purpose. Panini has nothing to gain by doing that.
Well, they do in a sense that if there's less gem 10s in the market,
people will chase
better centered cards.
But they don't care about that. They have no reason to care about that.
Well, that's a fair point. Fair point. I just it seems like this year's been more off than others. Maybe they just were making so much.
I think everybody is looking at it closer because the cards go for so much money.
It's true. Yeah. You're gonna eyeball a little bit more.
I am definitely paying attention to the centering a lot more this year as I'm breaking the product for you know, people as well. Like especially if it's a top rookie, I'm saying, okay, in my opinion, this centering is pretty good. You know,
right.
Well, I mean, what you may see is more cards that don't go to BGS or PSA, and they just get sold. Yeah. They get sold raw. Right?
I know, me personally, I am being mindful of buying my PC guy. You know, like if I see one on eBay, I'm like, I'll pay for this, but like I'm not gonna pay a premium for the ones that are off center.
Exactly. And so I wanted to talk about the Dutch auction, which is Prism First Off the Line Premium. If you're new to the hobby, they used to do Prism First Off the Line at a set price. Everybody paid $250, whatever the amount was, $250. Right. So what's up?
Just
you're applauding.
I'm applauding Dutch auction.
Okay. Dan's a fan.
I'm just applauding it.
Dan's
just
a fan.
Applauding.
And I'm a fan too. And I'll tell you why, but I want to explain how the process worked. Their goal, whether this was greed, which some people say they think it was greed with Panini pitched it as, we want to give everybody a chance to buy it, because the old way of putting stock up at $250 and it's selling out in 5 minutes and people getting errors and bots supposedly scooping it all up, they felt like they needed to make a change. They made the change this year with this release, and I don't know if they're going to do it going forward. They definitely did it with Prism First Off the Line. So how it worked is they started boxes at 1,000. And then every 5 minutes, it basically went down around $5. So it was a very long process. Started at 1,000, went to 995, went to 990. It was every 2 minutes. So it was like a 5 hour process. And it winds up ending, was supposed to end at 250, but it sold out at 290 ish. So there were people that got in at 1,000. There was people that got in at 900. There was people that got in at 800. There was people that got in on 700. There was people that got in at 600. It's basically the price point that people felt comfortable paying. And now some people say, well, that's greed by Panini. Well, you know, Panini wasn't forcing people to click and buy it. They were basically, you know, saying, hey, if you think you can't get any or you want to get some at this price, click and add it to your cart at this price. It's the same thing as an iPhone. At some point, an iPhone comes out, it's $1,200. Now it's a much slower process. 6 months from now, maybe it'll be $900. A year from now, it'll be $700. It's same thing. It's just, you know, time lapse a lot faster, obviously. So, but there was a lot of people complaining. I think a lot of these people had bots. But there was no hiccups on the site. The site did not crash from what I could tell from on my end. I was watching it all day. And a lot of people seem happy. A lot of people that would pay $600 to a seller on eBay that who knows if the guy searched it or repacked it or whatnot, they were able to get it from Panini knowing that it wasn't searched. So they were happy with that. They were happy paying $600. They bought it for $600, then they went on living their life. They didn't have to worry about it. They didn't have to worry about the eBay tracking or whatever. So it worked out for some people. What are your thoughts on it, Dan?
Loved it. Loved it.
Tell us why.
And you know what? I hate the phrase, never use it, but game changer. Right there.
Wow.
Doug was sitting there talking about stock, little stock X, that they were going to be the game changer. No, this is the way to do it. They nailed it. I love the process. I thought it was amazing. It gave the consumer the choice to buy it when they wanted to buy it at whatever price they felt comfortable. Now, granted, the uneducated consumer can't get saved from themselves in this instance.
Right.
If they felt that they had the FOMO that they were going to miss out and bought it at $900 a box, that is on them. That is not on Panini. That's not Panini's fault. Panini did not force them to buy that box at $900.
Well, assuming if somebody's buying it at $900, they're probably at a pretty high income level.
We don't know that.
I mean, I would assume.
That person who bought a box for $900, that might have been maxing out the last of their credit card. That might have been the last $900 they had. We don't know. You want to hope that that's not the case, but we don't know. But there was no hiccups. I made 4 different orders at 4 separate times, had no problem getting in, got to the club, got right in, got my boxes, no waiting in line, no 2-button shuffle.
Yeah, there was definitely not no 2-button shuffle. I wasn't like
throwing elbows and trying to squeeze in. Maybe I can get a box from the bots. No, it was beautiful.
Well,
it was beautiful. They should do it on every release. They should do it on everything.
Oh,
I love it. I love you. I love you, Panini.
Oh God.
Jeez.
Shout out to Panini.
Did they sign you?
I'm an exclusive.
You and Rui, you're signed a Panini exclusive deal now.
No, I could not. When you first brought this to my attention, I'm like, oh God. I'm like, with all the issues that there's been with the site, this isn't gonna work. This isn't gonna go down. Flawless.
No pun intended.
I applaud everybody at Panini that had anything to do with this. They did a great job.
Yeah, hopefully that guy got a raise that came up with this idea.
So obviously we're on the other side of things. We were able to buy cases and we're going to use it in breaks. So, you know, we're on the other side of things. We were able to get cases. So unlike Immaculate, first off the line where I had to buy 18 different purchases from 18 different people, I was able to get the stock I wanted from the manufacturer. So obviously that works for us. And those who are asking how much stock there was, I believe it was 6,800 is what people kind of figured out. So 6,800 boxes were sold at some at 1,000 once again, some at 900, some at 800, some as low as 295 was the lowest it went for. So let's put a consumer hat on. Let's say we don't have this business and you're used to the old way, right? And now you have this way. What are you seeing if you're a consumer? And that question goes out to you guys in the chat. No holds barred. What do you think about this Dutch auction process? Because like I said, we're a business and, you know, we like the process, But if you're a consumer, and let's take the flippers out of it, because you can't really say that the flippers are the ones that are really voicing their opinion because it kind of took from their income. What do you think?
The only knock, I mean, I already told you, I confessed my love for this process and everything about it. Said they couldn't, the only thing they could have done is, I know you like, there's some kind of plug-in you can see how much stock is left. I would love for them just to implement that. Just be transparent and say, hey, and I know that defeats the purpose of what they're doing, because then people are going to wait.
Right.
They're going to wait.
I don't think they will.
They won't, and it's probably not a good business move, but if they did that, it would make it completely perfect. It'd be a perfect situation.
Yeah. So you're saying that your biggest gripe is to have the actual stock.
To have the stock. And I know why that will not happen. It won't happen because if I see that there's 7,000 stock on there, I'm going to look at that number more than I'm going to look at the price. I'm going to be like, I don't care what
the price
goes to.
You're going to go up and get yourself some breakfast.
I'm going to basically sit there and refresh. It gets to 1,000. I'm like, time to buy. Or it gets to 500 boxes. Time to buy. They won't do it that way, and I get it. They probably shouldn't have called it a Dutch auction, because I think the true definition of what a Dutch auction is not what this was. Now, I think,
and I've heard people say that before, but is there a website that defines? I mean, can you look in the dictionary?
Couldn't they have called it what it really is? Is it's a reverse auction?
Usually a reverse auction is for one item, so I don't think
this technically is one SKU. It's one SKU. It is one item.
But like one stock, I think.
But it's one item, though. It's not. You could think of it as one stock because it is one SKU.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe a reverse auction, I think, would have been a better way of.
And I think we. Okay. So actually, in the dictionary, there is an actual Dutch auction. A method of auction consisting in the offer of property at a price above actual value and then gradually reduced prices until a buyer is found. So that's kind of vague in a sense, but that is courtesy of dictionary.com. A method of auction consisting in the offer of a property at a price above the actual value and then at gradually reduced prices until a buyer is found. But it doesn't obviously say multiple items, because I guess it's kind of applicable whichever you're
so
using.
So what you had in StockX.
Well, that's why I think people are confused.
Well, which one is a Dutch auction? They're two different things, but they're kind of being described, and the terminology is the same. And they're being called the same, but they're two different things.
Right. I mean,
kind of reminded me of that great skit that I between Sports Card Radio and Card Father X. I don't know why I was saying that, and I kind of felt
it's kind of like a boy,
kind of like the same thing but different.
Yeah. No,
I don't know why I was sitting there doing that, and I'm all, wow. I'm like, I think I've heard that before.
Yeah, something that looks like something, but it's not. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. I think I just zoned out for a second.
In the chat, we've got comments. It's much better before you were beholding to wait. The flippers want to, or you were holding what the flippers want to charge. Now you can wait until the price is what you're comfortable with. Long Arm says it's a bit tough that it costs more than you could get at MSRP, but it was nice to not be shut out or run into site issues. So yeah, I don't think the system's perfect, but you know, it seems like they kind of, you know, more people got
it.
You know
what they could have called it, and I think this is why I love it, because I use this phrase a lot. Buy it or don't. It's your choice.
Right.
They should have called it.
The buy it or don't, first off the line.
Buy it or don't, first off the line, your choice.
Nice.
Because
nice.
It was.
Your choice.
It is your choice. Buy it or don't. Buy it or don't.
Yeah.
That's it.
So here's one of the negative comments towards it that I saw on Twitter from, I think it's at cards grading. So does Panini America feel good about some customers paying over $500 for a box when the final sale price was $295? Great way to lose customers in the future.
I think that's the Panini bot guy.
It might be.
Could be the Panini bot. Remember Panini bot at Twitter?
Yeah.
Is that at Panini bot?
At Panini bot.
That might be
so
him.
He's saying it. He doesn't feel that it's fair that some people paid double the price for the same item. you know, there's no other option, though. If you're going to collect basketball cards, you're going to buy from Panini. So if you're not happy with it, unfortunately, you're not collecting cards then. So that's your other alternative. There's no way that unless somebody comes up and takes the license away, which I don't see happening in this boom period, Panini's not letting the license go unless crap is bad, unless shit goes downhill quick. Then we might have somebody take over the basketball license. But for right now, we only have one option. And they're trying different things. May not be perfect, but... You know, I just, you know, this guy's actually tweeted a couple times about it, how he doesn't feel that it's right. And I don't understand the motives, but it was actually interesting to see a bunch of people piled on. They didn't really yell at this guy, but they were saying they were actually applauding Panini for the great idea. A lot of people that are usually negative were saying that Panini did the right thing. So it was weird to see the hobby kind of come together and actually give Panini kudos, which you don't normally see. You normally see everybody jumping down. Oh, Panini, you know, this auto sucks or my cards are damaged. Where's my redemptions? So it was actually people jumped on and protected Panini in this one. So it was interesting to see. You can kind of see the interaction on Twitter under that Twitter account. So, but some of the boxes on eBay. So this is the lowest one I've seen. So people are selling the boxes at $545. And I don't know if this guy thinks he's getting a case. Maybe he is. If so, then we're getting cases too. He's trying to sell a case. A sealed case on the next slide for $6,888. First off the line, premium 12-box case. So we'll see if it comes in case form. It may not. So this guy may get a chargeback. But, you know, so $295, if people got it, people are still being able to flip it if they want.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I've seen a lot of things where, you know, because the people were able to get them at, you know, that $300 to $400 range, people are making a lot of money reselling this one too.
Well, yeah, and what Mike is saying in the chat, Doug and I have been saying that ever since he released First Off the Line, that Panini is offering a service where you're able to buy something. They're just literally handing out
money,
$100 yeah. bills to everybody.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, they're the ones producing
exactly
the product. They're the ones marketing the product. They're the ones doing all the work, and then they're just giving out free $100 bills to just people in the whoever wants to buy these.
Yep.
And cash they're money, not getting homie. Any benefit from it. So I basically, for the longest time, was like, Panini should be selling these at market value. They're doing all the work. It's their product.
Well, it's also like what the chat's saying, too, is it's giving them market data. They see what people are willing to buy it at. They can't get that market data from eBay. I mean, they can kind of follow completed auctions, but this gives them real-time data of what people are willing to spend for this product. So they may try this with something that doesn't sell. And it may go down, or it may go back to the regular price. So it may not always go high because this is the one basketball product that everybody wants. It's the product that has – I mean, I know the price point's up now, but, you know, not everybody can buy a $1,200 flawless box or a $2,000 flawless box.
I love it. I want to see how they do it with products coming out in the future.
Well, can you imagine National Treasures this year?
But I want to see a product that doesn't have all that hype to it.
Yeah.
I want to see a product that may, if it was put up at
like
regular...
Like a Donruss baseball?
Like a Donruss baseball or something. Now... They're protected where they're never going to sell it for less than what retail is going to be anyway. They're protected. And not necessarily Donruss baseball. Let's talk about if they do like an impeccable basketball, right?
Yeah.
Started at like $1,200 a box. That's a product that usually sells out within like the first 5 minutes.
Right.
This year, if they put it up regular First Off the Line style at, you know, $600 a box or $800 a box, whatever it is, it would be gone in like 30 seconds.
Right.
Nobody would be able to get in. Two button shuffle. Everybody would be out. It would be up on eBay. The flippers would be stoked. They'd be like, we did it again.
Right.
I actually was looking at Blowout and I saw that flippers were saying the flippers are still going to make their money on this.
Yeah. Because if they pick the right price point,
they're still going to make their money.
Yep.
That they're not going to make as much money. Their margin isn't going to be as good, but they're still going to make money.
But I look at it this way. And we're going to move on. We're getting short on time here. But I look at it this way. This wouldn't happen if the hobby wasn't hot. if the products weren't in demand, if there wasn't more demand than there was supply, 6,800 boxes sold out in 4 hours and people were willing to pay double the price of what it normally goes for. That means that people are willing to collect and this hobby's thriving. If the product of first off line goes to 120, then you're going to have a problem selling your singles. You're going to have a problem, you know, even wanting to buy it anymore. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. When the hobby's hot, products are going to be high. When we go back to like a 2013 year before Giannis and everything, and nobody even wanted Giannis that year, we go back to 2013 NFL rookie class, you could get great deals on boxes. You could get Prominence NFL. There was like five hits, and you could get it for like $40. It was a hobby product that was normally $150. You could get it for $40. You wouldn't get a card that was worth $40 in that set if you opened up a whole case. So that's the problem, because there was no talent in that rookie class. So it's a double-edged sword. So like I said, I keep saying that, but it's, you know, it's a good time to be in this hobby. You know, there's more demand than there is supply.
I love the fact that it gave the power to the consumers.
Yeah.
That the customers had, you had truly a choice if you wanted to buy it or not.
Yep.
And with the way they were doing it before, you didn't have that choice. You couldn't get in to buy it.
Right. Exactly.
So, exactly. I mean, the people who wanted it bought it. That's what I love about it. Like, the people who wanted to get it, yeah, they may have paid an extra $10, $20, $30, $40, maybe even $100 extra a box. But they knew what they were getting into before they put it in their cart and checked out. They knew how much it was going to be. And you still had to go through the whole process. And you got it. Like, you don't have to sit here and worry about the next day, oh, I haven't got, like, an order confirmation email. Am I going to get it? I see a pending transaction on my statement.
Right.
Is it going to happen? You have this what if for like the next like couple days until you actually see a shipping notice. What you got here is that you know you got it.
Right. And also think about it this way. When the people that really wanted it and they had to buy it on eBay, they had to wait for the person to get it. And then they had to wait for that person to sell it to them. They're getting it now like a week and a half before they would normally get it because they had to buy it off eBay before.
This is the best thing that's happened in our industry in the last 10 years.
Okay. I don't know about that. Yeah. Breaking? It beats breaking?
Dutch oven.
Jesus. Are you high? No.
Besides breaking.
I'm segueing.
But there's a lot of people who would say that breaking is the worst thing that's happened.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people that say Dutch oven's the worst thing to happen, too. So, anyways, C-Rad's currently in the lab working on a crazy, 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 crazy NBA 70 box mixer for this weekend. It's going to be posted pretty soon, so get your spots. And it's going to be let's tell people about it. Give them the pitch.
It's posted. Two spots already sold.
Oh, jeez. No.
We've been doing 70 box mixers. This is going to be the biggest one we've done so far, especially with the increase of all these 1819 products. Everything is so expensive, so anything that we can get our hands on and put into breaks for you guys, we try our best. So this is going to be expensive mixer, no doubt about it, but we are doing something a little fun different about this one. Where's there's 26 spots, four combo teams. After we random your teams on this break, there's actually going to be a Team Zion versus Team Luka bounty. So 13 people will be split up in the Team Zion, 13 people will be split up in the Team Luka. And every base card, jersey, auto of Zion or Luka is going to go to the team's point totals. And each, you know, like a base will be worth a certain amount. Auto will be worth a certain amount. Jersey will be worth a certain amount. The team with the most points at the end of the break, all 13 people are going to win a significant amount of site credit. And then the team that loses will still get something nice. And then we have all our usual, bounties that we're going to do. We have the skunk protection. If you have the least amount of jerseys, auto, just overall in the break, you'll get something really nice. We have a first 15 bonus where you can win the $400 sealed box of Prism Hobby. And there's 200 hits minimum in this one. And
wow.
just go look at at the lineup. It's a flawless NT, immaculate Prism Hobby. So just
insane.
Go look at it.
Insane. Yeah, get it now.
Immaculate, immaculate, which is another.
All right, so are we're gonna go over some listings. Are you high? Is the name? Are you high?
I want to talk to Samson. Those
stems, no seeds. Oh, I thought you were gonna play the whole song.
I don't know. We might get blocked. So I just went through eBay, and I was like, just some people look at cards and they're like, wow, this person, that's how much this card goes for. For one, the card doesn't go for that. That's what this person's asking. And there's just some ridiculous stuff. These people put it up and I don't even know why they put it up. It's just stupid. Are they trying to come over on people? That's what I think sometimes. Are you just trying to get over on some poor rich sap or somebody that needs to get this card for their PC because your prices are outrageous? You can't even, the prices come up, you can't even make an offer that's at the right price because it's just, you're not even going to waste your time because the guy's asking 100 times the amount the card's worth. So we'll start with my boy. We got Michael Porter, number to 20, Disco. This good. One's actually not that bad. It's believe it or not, not that bad. Somebody's asking for a raw Michael Porter Jr. rookie Disco, number to 20, no auto.
It is the OBO in there.
$1,500 $1,500 right?
That's the face of the franchise.
One sold in the next slide, Gem 10. For $836, so that's not too bad. It's not horrible.
It's not bad.
But the person's asking double. That actually, it's not even graded. So I mean, asking double. Yeah. You can move on to the next one. You got first edition all of the Jose Canseco hand stamp cards from Triple Threads. So there's 10 of them made. Actually, he's got 9 of them. He's asking $72,000 for a Jose Canseco auto and a hand stamp. I'm pretty sure I could call up Jose Canseco, give him $5,000, and he'd come out here and he'd stamp 100 of them for me and
my
sign them.
My name is Jose!
$72,000 for 10 hand stamps and an autos of Jose Canseco. Gotta be out of your mind. What do you think that's worth?
How many of them? There's 9 of them?
There's 9 of them.
Well, where's number 9?
I don't know. I can't find that one still in pack.
Oh, no. I would say that is... That is auto. That it's nice. People like Jose. I would say for all of them, $800.
Yeah, right. So $72,000.
It's a little high.
Yeah, a little bit
high. A little high. But I think 8 to 1,000.
Talk to Samson.
Sorry, just playing the drop.
You know what he messed up? He didn't get this graded by C-Red.
I know, right?
6.5.
Right. And then you go to this one, which is a triple auto of Len Whale, White, Matt Leinart, and Reggie Bush, and it's $2,000. None of those guys are in the league. None of those guys mounted anything. Granted, it is a USC card.
I was going to say.
It is a USC card.
If you're a USC fan, that is like...
1 year of success, yes.
But no, I mean, that's the card you want. That is it.
They lost to Vince Young. It's worthless. They're
yeah,
losers.
But that was one of the... That
they
was
lost.
Probably one of the best... college teams ever.
And it's a hideous looking card. It was Leaf before Panini owned it. Well, Leaf is now sold to Brian Gray, but that was a playoff back in the day. Just absolutely hideous card. And then you got this gem of a card. Baker Mayfield hand drawn helmet. I can't even keep a straight face. If you're listening to the,
well,
if you're listening to the audio version, you gotta see this card. So at the rookie premiere, they have the players draw something, and he drew something. I'll tell you, he drew a Browns helmet. It doesn't look like a Browns helmet, and he signed the back, and he wrote Baker for player, and 100,000 person holy grail, 100,000.
I wish when you were talking about how great Baker was last year
that you had that
I had that card and I'd have been like, no, no, not going to be an all pro. Not going to. No.
John E. says it looks like a turducken. Oh, man. I don't. He could have put his helmet down in front of him and tried to kind of draw it, right? It looked like he was coming off the dome. I know he was busy. He was making commercials while he was out there. He was doing dances and all that other crap. But
well, no, that's actually the new improved helmet. That's the one that Antonio Brown didn't want to wear.
Antonio Brown helmet. So there's a close up on it. it's good.
I wish I looked like that.
Yeah, right. Very small face mask there too. So what do you think? This person's asking $99,000 for it.
It's a work of art.
I mean, it is.
If we're talking about over the summer, I could see that. Maybe.
No. No. Because in the next slide, you can get the shield, and this seems high as well. You get the flawless shield auto for $60,000. But no, I want the retarded drawing helmet.
Whoa, dude.
I mean, sorry.
Whoa.
What? Am I going to get Tim Ryan? Am I going to get suspended?
With all that Tim Ryan stuff going on, you drop that?
I dropped the hard art, but it's in relation to the drawing. I'm saying the drawing is bad.
What?
The drawing's
not
bad.
Okay. You can't say that word. You can't say that word.
I don't know. It used to be, never mind.
You can't.
I could say whatever I want. It's my show, damn it.
Well, it used to be.
All right, YouTube blocked us. No, it's a bad drawing. It's a bad drawing.
It's a bad drawing. There you go.
Yeah,
it's a bad drawing. It's a bad drawing.
That's what I was trying to say, but I got to another word there. But why would anybody pay $99,000? What do you think it's actually worth? What would you pay for that? If somebody walked in the shop and was like, I got to unload this, what's your offer?
Well, it is like the Mona Lisa of sketch cards.
Is it?
Well... I'd blow it up.
Seriously, like I know we've been joking, but legitimately, what would you pay for that?
Would I pay for that? That's probably $500. They don't go for that much.
At $500, that's higher than I would offer.
Oh, it's worth $500. I mean,
it says Holy Grail.
You put Holy Grail on it. It's a
$500 card.
Yeah, Johnny, $50. I mean, yeah, I mean, $50 to $100.
$500.
I mean, he's playing better now.
Over the summer, this is a $5,000 card.
With that drawing. Yeah. You'd be proud of that.
But
that's my
drawing,
PC.
The
drawing's not that bad, actually, if you see some of the other
cards. Yeah, I mean, we've seen some bad ones.
Yeah.
But this is just funny because it's bad.
I mean, he's pretty good at football. He's a good actor.
Yeah, he's good at commercials.
We know he can't draw.
Yep.
We know that.
All right, let's keep moving. We've got a superfractor of Greg Oden. Superfractor 8-5-10. Greg Oden, a great Greg Oden. The Blazers believed in him so much that they took him over Kevin Durant. That was
LeBron
a great
James
idea.
Is dead.
$3,000 best offer. The person had to put best rookie card ever. Best. I mean, which I can't possibly complain about that.
He says Oden's best rookie card ever.
Oh yes, Oden. Okay, that's what I meant.
Not the best rookie card of all rookie cards.
Best rookie card of Oden.
I agree.
And I almost wanted to know the backstory. Did this guy buy into the hype when it came out and spent like $150,000 on this thing, and now he's just like holding on to $3,000?
Nobody threw around $150,000 back in
2007.
Yeah.
So, all right, we can go on to the next. I got a few more we can talk about. I think I got one more. So we've got world record 2019 Ultimate Sports 1-of-1 autograph sticker on a card, Floyd Mayweather. And I thought that was $10,000. That is $10 million.
The money team, baby.
$10 million for a Floyd Mayweather 1-of-1.
Goes right up with what I was saying yesterday. It's worth 10.
Yeah.
That
10
right
bucks.
There. That right there is 10.
Money Mayweather, baby.
That's 10.
$10 million.
Is that a Leaf card?
It is.
I like the confidence.
It's a Leaf Ultimate Sports card. It's not even a Leaf Pearl.
That's an undefeated price right there.
Undefeated. Sticker auto 1-of-1. You could own this card for $10 million. Hey, you know, a mansion in Beverly Hills or one Floyd Mayweather sticker auto 1-of-1. Pretty sure you could approach Floyd Mayweather with a cool million and he'll give you some awesome stuff. You know, you could save yourself $9 million.
I want to know what that awesome stuff would be.
Right? I know. Well, you know what? I had a Transcendent segment. We're going to save it for next week because I got some data on Transcendent. I mean, we love Transcendent. We love breaking it. But just not a huge fan of it this year on the resale. I think that we've seen too many names. The names aren't going for the price point. So I'll basically run through my opinion on it. We'll share some later. It's a $30,000 box. I mean, some boxes are going for $25,000 now. The cuts are awesome. The cuts are going for big money. If you go to the next slide, you've got basically, you know, Lou Gehrig, $3,500. You've got Andrew Jackson, people trying to get $10,000 for it. Those are awesome. Those are nosebleed items.
That Lou Gehrig even has the has an article attached to it.
It does, right? But then you go to some of the basic. You have a chance of hanging out with Ken Griffey, so that's another big ticket. You got the Invitation that are going anywhere from they're around $4,000, $5,000 for a chance to hang out with Griffey. But you go to the base autos, and mind you, it's a $25,000 product. Mariano Rivera, $140, numbered to 25. Buster Posey, 3-time World Series champion, $52. You go to the rookies, and Tatis, $218, number to 15. Eloy Jimenez, $67.
Jeez.
That's a rookie. There's cards that have come out that are unlicensed throughout last year, like the 2019 calendar year of baseball products that were unlicensed that sold for double
right
the amount of that.
And I mean, granted, people probably shouldn't be. If you have Transcendent cards, I would wait. Right now is probably not a great time to sell them via auction unless it's a cut or some of these really unique items. And you can go to some of the Superfractors. Vlad, I think, is selling for around $200. $200 Superfractor. Or, I mean, not a Superfractor, but a base to 15. Yusei Kikuchi Superfractor got cut off, sold for $200. So a rookie Superfractor sold for $200. I got some more Superfractors on the next slide. A Bernie Williams Superfractor, 176. Joey Votto's Superfractor, 354. So these are main hits of your box, and they're selling for what you would pay out of a retail something.
But again, with the secondary market, that how does that have anything to do with the manufacturer?
It doesn't. But it just shows you that the product isn't.
We can show the manufacturer this data and say, You're gonna if you want to produce this product at this price point, you're gonna have to do something different.
Yep.
I agree with that, but it's not their fault.
No, it's not. The market's littered.
That people are only gonna spend $176 for a Superfractor or Bernie Williams.
Right. Right. I think they need to just go back to the drawing board. A lot of these guys have been in every single Transcendent.
But we talked about it. I was like, well, what can they do with the subjects? I think that's where the issue's at. These guys have been, they're in all the products. They're in every product, but they got everybody you would want.
Right.
Like, it's not Topps' fault that the baseball players, the legends, are readily available and willing to sign for them.
Right.
What else do you do? If we were sitting there talking about, well, what players are not in products that people would want to collect?
Right.
Well, I couldn't name any of them.
Right.
Because everybody is in products.
Exactly. Exactly. So that probably is part of the problem. But we'll explore more Transcendent next week. My wife's got an appointment at 4:15, so I got to get out of here and hit the road. But we'll talk more about, we'll divulge into more data. We'll also, next week, we're going to have more data on Prism sales. We're going to have more data on Bowman Draft. So we'll go over that. We're probably going to bring back Guess That Price next week as well. So we'll have a fun little game on that. Once again, guys, the numbers have been going up on our subscribers and our downloads. We really appreciate it. That's why we do this show every week for you guys, tell you guys about the hobby and, you know, just kind of pull the curtain back on what we do as well. So we have a lot of fun doing it. Make sure you follow us at mojobreak_com on Twitter and Instagram, and you can download the podcast on any of the podcast networks, and you can also watch the video version on YouTube as well. So stick around for you guys that are in the chat on YouTube. We're going to get into the breaks. We've got more Prism, we got more Bowman Draft, we got Obsidian all breaking today. And if you're listening to the podcast version on another day, just head out on the site mojobreak.com. You'll be able to find something that you like, as long as you like cards. Alright guys, peace out.
And that's it. Thanks for watching.